Well, we're talking about angels today. We're talking about good angels, guardian mm-hmm. angels. We're talking about also fallen angels yep. later on. But do you have any personal experience where you think that maybe you encountered an angel?
I wouldn't call it my personal experience where I saw anything, but there was a, it happened to actually my husband. And this story, like, the whole family's heard it. And if anyone knows my husband, he's not someone to make something up. And you know he's yeah, not like that.
I know him.
but he was in, had a major accident, and he was in the hospital. He spent, like, 2 weeks in ICU. Mm-hmm. And then they moved him to another room when he became stable. He was still, you know, going through a lot, and I had to leave sometimes. Like, I mm-hmm. did stay with them a ton, yeah. but I had to leave. I still had kids at home. I had to go home. So one day I left, and I was gone for a couple of hours, and I get back to the hospital. I walk in, and when I walk into the hospital room, he's sitting up, and he looks at me, and I look at him, but when I see him, it does look like he's looking kind of like at a ghost, but he immediately just bust into tears and just crying and crying. So I kind of run up to him like, what's the matter? What's going on? What's wrong? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I saw an angel. And I was like, who, me? And he's like, no, I saw an angel. And I'm like, I was like, oh, it's okay. And I didn't really go into a lot of depth with him at that time. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't on any drugs where it could, like, alter his, you know, thinking or anything like that.
Yeah.
He was just on, you know, just basic, like, pain medicine, antibiotics, things like that. But later, we never really talked about it a lot, which is weird. We never did. And I actually did mention it to him because I knew we were going to be talking about angels. And I was like, okay, I need to know, like, can you describe this angel that you saw? And he's like, no, I really can't. I'm like, well, what did you see? I need something. Now tell me. And he's like, well, he said it wasn't like an angel you really think of in a movie or something like yeah. that. He said it was more of like this bright, bright light. And he said it was just behind me and over me and around me. Wow. And he said it was just like beaming, beaming light. And he said it was even making my hair like just kind of glow. But it was kind of a behind me. But he said he didn't, in his mind, he just thought it's an angel. Or in his heart, he felt it was yeah. an angel.
You know, on a spiritual level.
Yeah. So for him, he said, you know, we've talked about, you know, because we go to church and stuff, and I consider, like, I read my Bible. I'm very, you know, into, you know, the spiritual stuff, and he's not. Mm-hmm. But he's always struggled with his faith. Mm-hmm. But he said that when that happened to him, he said that's one thing that proved to me. He's like, I know what I saw. I know what I felt. And he said that proves to me I know there's a God, mm-hmm. and I know there's something else out there.
Yeah.
And what's really weird is going back before that accident, 2 weeks before that accident, we were at an older church we used to go to, and they did a call to, you know, altar call.
Yeah.
To be saved and go up there and say the prayer. Well, me and the girls, and we're saved, and said the prayer, and I told him, I was hoping he would go up there, and he didn't. Well, we got into the truck after we left that, and I was like, oh, why didn't you go up there? And he's like, oh, I didn't want to. And I actually cried, mm-hmm. and I thought, I hate that, because I was like, I really want you to be close to God. Mm-hmm. Well, after those 2 weeks, and then he had that accident, and the pastors from that church came to the hospital, and they actually asked him, this is when he was in ICU, if he wanted to say the prayer. And the pastor said it. He did. He said it. And he was crying his eyes out then. My husband's not a crier.
No.
I've seen him cry 3 times in our whole relationship.
Yeah.
Maybe actually 4 now. I can count because I think. But it's just weird how it all happened. I was like, well, if that's what God had to do to make you a believer and to get you, then that's what had to happen.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't all a life-altering accident, which he still suffers with today.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my angel story. Hopefully it wasn't too long. But
No, I love that story. I mean, I've heard it before and I've always been so fascinated by it because it's such a, you know, whenever you hear somebody talking about an experience with an angel or something spiritual and it's not necessarily somebody that just talk, you know, this person and they don't talk about things like
this.
So it really is just that kind of like piece of testimony to the reality of God. When you know people personally and you know that they're grounded in reality and you know that they have seen or experienced these things, it kind of helps solidify faith. And I think that we need to spend so much more time sharing these kinds of stories.
Yes, I agree. Because my husband's a very logical thinker.
Yes.
You know, he's the typical male, very logical, wants an answer to everything and...
Yes. Yeah. I think men often are. They really often are. And women, I think, sometimes are more drawn to that spiritual experience. And I was reading a little bit about just the statistics on angels. And I didn't realize it, but over 80% of Americans believe in angels. And 1/3 of those people say that they have had a personal encounter with an angel. So I thought that was really neat. But I was going to tell you, I was reading about this mission and it's Russian cosmonauts. Mm-hmm. And this happened in 1984. And I had never heard about it before until recently. Mm-hmm. But essentially, they were in space. They had been there for over 100 days. But when they were up in space, they all saw this gigantic sort of orange glowing orb out in space. And whenever it just basically it blinded them initially.
Wow.
Once they could see again, they went to the portholes expecting to maybe see like a fire on the space station or something because they had had some issues like that. But what they saw were 7 angels and they could make out their faces and everything. They said they had humanoid faces and features, but they were very large. But they had wings and they had halos glowing around them. And so they reported this back to mission control. This went on for 10 minutes that they're just in contact with mission control. And they're like, they're just following us and they're keeping up with us and they're flying. And I mean, it's such an amazing story. Well, later on, another group joined them at the space station. Same exact thing happened. More people saw, more people witnessed it. It started again with that giant glowing orb. Wow. And then they were able to go look in the portholes and they saw these angelic beings. Now, we don't know if that's ever happened to anybody else that's went into space or anything like that. But whenever they returned, they were told to not really share that story. Mm. So it's kind of been held down for a while. But if you look it up, I mean, it's a real thing that happened and that they experienced.
Isn't it funny how I find it fascinating, it's like 7 angels.
Yes.
You know, we're always talking about numbers and stuff and how nothing's a coincidence. So that's weird to me too.
I think numbers and stars have so much meaning in just in the Bible, and God is always telling us to look at these things, and he's always leaving these little bits and pieces. And you were telling me too that you know, because we always talk about how we think that fear is essentially like the lowest frequency. That's the thing that we have to try to get away from. And love is the highest frequency that we want to really aim towards. And you were telling me that you had read that fear,
I read that, because I wanted to look it up, I heard it, but it's like, it says, in the Bible, it says, do not be afraid, 365 times. And I thought, there's, how many days are in the year? 365? Yeah. So it's like, he's telling us, do not fear every day.
Yes. So it must be of such importance, since we know that he has so much. He places so much emphasis on his numbers that he uses. And one for every single day. So that's just like, I don't know. I think that's such a neat thing.
I think it's beautiful. And I know you were mentioning like, you know, these demons, like fallen angels and things like that. We're talking about on another subject, but we were saying that, you know, they really feed off of our fear.
Yes. And I think that's very, very true. And we were also listening to a podcast where somebody mentioned that. We were watching or listening to the Danny Jones podcast. Mm-hmm. And he had a man named Chris Bledsoe on his show, which... it's a very, very weird story, but I told you to listen to too, and you just finished it. But what did you think?
It was fascinating. I couldn't stop. Like, I had it. It was about like 3.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, it was long.
So I listened to half of it yesterday, but then my son, I had to get with him and do stuff. So then I finished it today. But there was just so many things that resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he talks about how he saw these things and how kind of like the church turned their back on him and said, oh, it must be demons.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's like, so you believe we can communicate with demons and they can communicate with us, but you don't believe that we can communicate with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit can communicate with us?
Yes.
Like, to me, that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was talking about, you know, the orbs he saw and that one that the woman came to him.
Like, yes.
On Easter.
Yes. He saw, well, for years he had just seen those orbs and he reported them. And like they did like a documentary for the mm-hmm. Discovery Channel. And now I think they're doing some stuff with him for the History Channel. And he's going to have a movie come out. And he has a book called UFO of God. But whenever I was listening to it, it's such a strange thing. He saw these orbs and then he had this experience 2 years in a row on Easter
mm-hmm.
where he essentially sees this woman, and I think it was, she had a bull with her.
Yes. I thought it was fascinating, actually.
But I can't remember exactly what happened. What did he say that she told him?
She told him that, didn't she? She said that just to get ready because we're going to have like the years of, you know, some bad years ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for him, it was like, even he was kind of like, okay, what does this all mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But maybe you can remember more of what she was trying to tell him. I know she said that we have to get ready because some bad things are going to happen.
Yes, it was. I think he said it was like 2013, something like mm-hmm. that. So it's been a while. And this is, he reported this a long time ago. NASA's investigated him. All these people have investigated
him. Top people.
Yes, and they've even become friends with his family, and all of his family have experienced the phenomenon around mm-hmm. him. But yes, she was essentially almost like an angelic sort of being that came to him and told him to prepare that there was going to be some very hard years ahead. It's going to get worse before it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But then there is going to be a shift. Now, she told him that it's going to be something to do with also like a return of the divine feminine.
I know, and that was weird because we've talked yes. about that before. You really actually discovered that one because when you were reading the Book of Enoch.
Yes, when I was looking into the Book of Enoch, there, you know, when I read that, I was just astounded by, for me, the reference to Sophia and how she could not find a place to dwell among men, so she returned for her spot in heaven. And Sophia means wisdom. And there is a long history of this being or this angelic being, but it's a feminine entity.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just, you know, we've talked about this. I think that there is a place for the Holy Spirit to sort of represent a feminine entity. And the reason why I say that is because in Hebrew and in Aramaic, which is what Jesus spoke, the word spirit has a feminine quality to it. And originally it was interpreted as a feminine thing. So, of course, you know, once we translate things, we do get small changes. It's not saying that, that it's not still the word of God, but we do get yes. small changes when in translation. And so when we look at the Holy Spirit and Jesus says that, he gave up the spirit before he dies, yes. And so it just kind of makes you wonder to yourself exactly what the Holy Spirit completely encompasses.
I think we don't know. And I think people that really want to put a label on everything, that's the people that get really messed up yeah. on it. Because it's like, we can't put a label on stuff like that. I do agree. I mean, because it's kind of like when God said he, like we talked, when God said he created us in his image. Well, he created man and woman.
Yeah, he did.
And so where is that feminine side? And, you know, going back for centuries, all that men on earth wanted to do was rule over women and take women out of everything.
Yeah, I mean, you have women not being allowed to be represented in the church, and you will often hear the verse that we get the most is Paul talking about women not being head of church. But I have to look at the word of Jesus, and I can see how loving and kind Jesus is to women, and how he recognizes every woman. And he really did make all things new. And he did not turn women away.
No.
And even when the disciples were getting on to Jesus and saying, oh, shouldn't she be doing this? I think it was,
Mary Magdalene or...
I'm not sure. The name is not popping in my head right now. But it's when she was cleaning his feet and they said, oh, you should just have sold that perfume.
Yes.
And maybe they didn't even give her a name, but I think they did. But she was cleaning his feet with this perfume, and they said, well, you should have taken this to the poor. But Jesus didn't, you know, just because they were men, take their side. He didn't do that. He said, no, don't you see what she's doing? She's doing a beautiful thing for me.
Yes.
So it's just things like that really show me this side of Jesus that really embraced women and loved women, and not in the way that you see some other preachers or other religions do. And not to talk about other religions, but just, you know, you'll see religions where they have multiple wives, or where they're promised many virgins when they die, or, you know, just all of these kinds of things. Whereas Jesus, when we stick with his word, he says one man for one woman. Mm-hmm. And he gives that sort of, just that kind of, I think, justice to both sides in that sort of beauty of that. I think it's wonderful. But another part of that Chris Bledsoe story that we were talking about that was so weird was that he talks about how this female entity appeared on Easter. And we both kind of had the same thought when we heard this. But she, to me, reminded me of the Easter entity that we read about some.
Yes.
And there's very little information about her, but her name is Ostara. You can call her Ostara, or I think Yoster, or something like that in the Germanic or the Nordic. But she was sort of like an angelic being, and they kept Easter as the holiday that we've combined with Jesus. Now, you can't find much about her.
No.
And you wonder why, and you wonder, so if we have these ancient pagan deities that we know are related to the fallen angels, and we know that those are out there.
Yes.
We know that there are tons of pagan deities that people sacrificed humans to.
Yes.
We know that there are a lot that were just engaging in relationships with humans and creating these giants and all this kind of stuff. I mean, this is in all the religions all across the world. There are also occasionally good entities and kind entities that resemble angels. And it makes me think of the Book of Enoch, and it makes me think of the Watchers. And we have to remember that there were the Watchers that fell and became the fallen angels.
Yes.
But then there were also the Watchers that remained.
Yeah, the guardian angels.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just, it's very, very interesting.
I think it's super interesting, and we have to just keep our eyes open, you know, because that's the thing. It's like everybody wants to keep everything in a box.
Yes. I think that's a problem that we have in general with religion.
Yes. Religion is probably the worst about it, because it's like they don't want to they don't want to be open-minded to anything.
Yeah.
Spiritual. I mean, a lot of religions have taken out the spiritual side of things.
Yes.
They don't want that. I mean, there's some that still, of course, have things like that. You know, a lot of spirit-filled churches and stuff like that. But even spirit-filled churches, sometimes if you don't go within their guidelines,
yes,
you know, they don't want anything to do with it.
It starts to get very scary, I think, for them. And like we said, fear, you know, you have to remember mm-hmm. that every time an angel appears to anyone in the Bible, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, do not fear.
Yes.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
So you can't expect them to look the way that we...
You think.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
They might look a little different. I'm guessing that they do. And the ones that are described in Ezekiel are so...
scary.
Yeah. I mean, just reading about them, they sound really scary.
Well, yeah. I mean, even if there's a lot of parts of the Bible, even Revelation, when you're reading that stuff, I mean, it can mm-hmm. scare you to death.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading Revelation a lot as a kid. I don't know why, but it was just like, I don't know. I just gravitated toward it. And I just kind of wanted to know, I don't know, when is the end of the world going to happen, I guess. But I mean, which we do see a lot of things in Revelation playing out right now. We do mm-hmm. see a lot. And we talk a lot about whether or not the end of the world is near or approaching. And it does make you wonder, we're having this sort of slow drip come out. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to that story of Chris Bledsoe, where he's talking about these were essentially aliens, like NASA, MUFON, all these alien people were investigating originally. Mm-hmm. And it originally looked like the alien phenomenon. And we're seeing this very weird overlap of the alien phenomenon with the spiritual.
Yes.
And I think we can both safely say that we think there's...
Well, we've talked about that before, too. Mm-hmm. Even before, like... we've watched that podcast, different things, but we've always believed that they do kind of go together. Like, well, what we've thought is basically they know more than they're letting out. Maybe they don't know everything, but they know more. Mm-hmm. And I think they want to keep it covered up because it's kind of like, just like the Book of Enoch. They want to take all the spiritual stuff out because they don't want us knowing that there's those kind of powers out there mm-hmm. and that power... because they don't want us having access to it. Just like going back to Chris Bledsoe's story. He now, you know, people go to him for healing and things like that. And it's like they don't want those things really getting out because it's kind of like they'll lose that power they have over us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, okay, what can we tell them now? Now that this stuff is coming out and we know it's going to come out. There's a spiritual awakening. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, let's tell them it's aliens. Or
yes.
So it's kind of like... what else is the cover-up that they're willing to go to just to cover things up?
I think, in a way, it's a really easy way out to go the route of, this is evolutionary. You were seated here. I remember watching a documentary years ago, and the documentary was called, I think it was called Uneducated or something like that, and it had Ben Stein, and it was all about, he went to these different universities because so many professors had been fired. And basically, if a professor, even though many professors believe in God, we talked about that statistic last week, but if these professors wanted to talk about creation, they would get fired. That was it for them. But anyway, in this documentary, they were even talking about how they had interviewed the top evolutionary biologists. So he interviewed Richard Dawkins, who's, you know, who wrote God is Dead or whatever, this book about atheism.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, when he interviewed him, he's like, well, where did we come from? Because the science, it's not really making sense. Like, where mm-hmm. did life come from? And he went to the seated theory, which is sort of like the Scientology type theory of, we were seated here by other planetary beings. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what the top evolutionary biologist was saying years ago, 15, 16 years ago when I watched this. So you have to think about that's some preparation there.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a slow drip of information, and I do think they're going to try to go that route. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to try to say that this is, okay, hey, these are natural things, and they brought us here, and they're our parents, and you know.
Don't just fall for it.
Yes, don't. If that happens, don't go into that because... you know,
there's too many coincidences though for just mm-hmm. stuff like that. For we've hit on little things, but going just what you were talking about, how, you know, Jesus said there's a man for every woman, like you know, what are the birth rate statistics? Is this like
50-50?
I mean, how is that possible?
It's exactly. And you know, what's so crazy is you see so many people, like you'll see a lot of people entering countries. So there's, of course, we know in the UK, there's a lot of people leaving these Islamic countries, and it's not families. Mm-hmm. It's all young men. And then we now see that in America happening at this extremely high rate.
Yes.
And one of the things that's going on that I don't think enough people talk about is over there, they're able to have multiple wives. Mm-hmm. This system never works. It didn't work for the original Mormons. They eventually withdrew from that. Yes, yes, the fundamentalists kept doing it, but the Church of Latter-day Saints, now you
stopped
don't.
Away.
One man, one woman. Mm-hmm. The fundamental Mormons that maintained that, they got to get rid of young boys all the time. They call them the lost boys. They gather up the young boys when they get to be 18, 19 years old. They throw them out of the community.
It's so sad.
Because there's just not enough women. That's not how God designed it. No. So these Muslim countries, you're seeing all these young men come out of these countries, mm-hmm. and it's just the men. And what's really going on is that they're marrying so many wives. Or one thing that's really going on, one factor, they're marrying so many wives, the top, highest, richest men. There's not enough women to go around.
Yep.
Because it's not God's design.
No, and I think that's happened in the UK. That's why a lot of them are flooding over there.
Yes, yes.
And it's real bad. I mean, like I said, thank God we didn't have a civil war here.
Yes.
I mean, still praying that doesn't happen. But it's just kind of like they always do want to try to divide everybody, too, with different things. And we just have to always be aware. And I was reading something the other day, and it was like, what do they do? What do people do when they don't really want you to know what's going on? They keep you distracted.
Yes. That's the age-old tactic that the mm-hmm. Romans used.
Yep.
They said, give them food, give them games, and they'll be fine. Yep. And they won't be involved in anything, and they won't fight back. So they would just, mm-hmm. they had all these gladiators. And what do we look at? We're sitting here, we'll watch TV, we'll watch sports, we'll be on this,
phones,
we'll be doing that. Yeah.
Everything else. Yeah, they want it. And the next generation growing up, too, it's just a distraction. Everything they're mm-hmm. trying to distract from what's really going on around
us. Yes, and they want to keep you inside. They don't want you outside with nature. And I do think that there's something kind of spiritual about being outside.
Well, studies have shown, I mean, there's so many statistics that show you're more healthier when you're outside. Mm-hmm. I think I just read one the other day that said it's like you'll live to be like 80s and 90s just if you're outside more, if you have an outside job like gardening and stuff.
Yeah.
Not even like a hard workout, but just it's not just the activity of gardening, but it's actually being in the dirt. Being outside.
Yes, I believe it. Getting that vitamin D naturally. And then, of course, we've been fans of grounding mm-hmm. for many years, where you just go outside and you sit
barefoot.
There barefoot, put your feet on the ground. And supposedly it kind of makes a connection, and it lets off like a discharge, and it lowers your inflammation in your body. But we've been doing it for years.
Yes, I love it. I have to go out there and ground and just sit in the grass and just, I mean, it really does help you sleep better, I think.
Yeah.
And helps your immune system, and I'm all for that kind of stuff. And it's free. They don't want you to have anything that's free and natural.
Yes, I think that's true.
And the thing about like the sun, because, you know, I'm not going to lie. I was afraid, although this is going on something totally different, but I was afraid of, for years, being in the sun because people, they're promoting nonstop, like, oh, you're going to get skin cancer, mm-hmm. skin cancer. But I actually read a very interesting article. I think I sent it to you from mm-hmm. a dermatologist, like the people that do their research. And it was saying that you're not, even if you do get a little spot, it's not going to turn into anything.
I know.
You're not, most stuff they remove now, you're going in there and they're removing stuff, but it's not going to cause you any harm. You're having more harm not getting in the sun.
Yes. Your immune system is so deeply affected by not getting any vitamin D or
and
getting
I'm not
the
saying
sun exposure.
Go get burnt, Chris.
No,
I'm
don't burn
saying,
yourself.
No. Get a little sun app, go yes. outside, and that's really what most people are deficient in, and they don't even know it.
Yes. There's a huge, I think, isn't it the majority of Americans right yes. now are deficient?
I was actually watching, I was telling you about that podcast, I watched this doctor, he's like a high doctor, one of the like top doctors in Dallas, and mm-hmm. he was giving things about, you know, vitamins he takes and stuff, and he said he went and had a whole panel done, and the only thing he was deficient in is vitamin D.
I believe
and he takes all kinds of stuff, mm-hmm. but sometimes you need to go out there and get your natural vitamin D and just let it soak in.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a lot of times when you take it orally, it doesn't digest that well. Mm-hmm. I know that my mom, she was diagnosed as being deficient in vitamin D for years, and they would give her, like the doctor would give her vitamin D pills, but they still could never get her yeah. levels high enough.
And it regulates your hormones. I know we're yeah. going on something totally yeah, different no. on this podcast, but...
No.
Sorry.
No. But yeah, I think I just think all of that stuff is really, really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, but going back to what we were talking about earlier when we were saying that NASA had gotten involved with this man that was seeing these sort of orbs uh-huh. or entities. Talking about NASA, we've talked about it a little tiny bit before, but... there's some very strange things about the foundation of NASA. I don't know if you've really read about it or heard about it.
Well, you told me, like, what was it? Who funded it? Or who is the founder of it? Or?
One of the people that kind of led to the beginning of it and some of the things that they used, he actually is the one that, like, invented the fuel that mm-hmm. was used for the rockets. But his name is Jack Parsons, and if you look into his history, it's really weird. He didn't have a typical education, but he had a series of rituals where he said that he would get downloads. Mm. And this is going way back. But he was just a very strange character, and he was involved in the occult, heavily involved in the occult. And he was involved with Aleister Crowley, who had kind of like the Church of Satan.
Wow.
Or Church of Yourself, like Divine Love of Yourself or something like that. Very weird stuff if you wanted to look into it. But Jack Parsons, he was part of this and he had this ritual. He was friends with L. Ron Hubbard, who founded Scientology.
Hmm.
And they were very good friends. And he actually, L. Ron Hubbard, I believe, ran off with Jack Parsons' wife.
Oh, no.
Before, I think this is prior to him being involved in NASA. But it's just a very strange story of he wanted to bring an entity back. And him and L. Ron Hubbard had formed some kind of bond. And they tried to bring like a demonic entity back into the world.
I think they did.
They probably did. And it's very weird. I mean, it's just, I think we are living in a strange, strange time. But I do want to have hope. I want to have hope that we have good yeah. things to look forward to. And I do believe that. So even at the root of seeing things that are not, you know, that are kind of scary or mm-hmm. weird out there, I do want to have hope, and we both always want to be positive and remain yes. positive. And you had a really good experience with manifestation.
I did.
We've been talking about manifestation for the longest time, and we did the blue feather theory, which is the baby step to manifesting.
Yes.
I manifested mine, and then you did it.
I know. I forgot to bring my feather today. Oh, darn it. But I'll bring it. I'll bring it next week. But what's funny is, you know, how I told you, yes, I want to do this. And so I says, I want my blue feather. And it's weird, though, because I did, like, the day before I found it, I did think, oh, I haven't found my blue feather. But I thought, yeah, I don't care. I'll find it when I want to. Mm-hmm. But I was, so the next day, it's been really hot, but I decided to go outside. My grandson wanted to go out, so we went out, and I was looking around, you know, he was playing in the grass, but then in the bark and the flower bed, it was sticking straight in the ground, so it was mm-hmm. like straight up. And I thought, what is that? I mean, it was just a very vivid blue, so I picked it up. I was like, oh my gosh, it's a blue feather! But then I took a picture and sent it to you because it looks yes. just like your blue feather.
I know,
except it's smaller. I mean, but it it looks just like yours.
It looks the same. And what's so weird to me is I have no idea what kind of bird this is.
Well, I've got, it's crazy, but it's weird because it did, like, when I'd come over, I don't know if yours is sitting there.
I think I put mine back in my room.
But I'd be like, oh, I just love Christy's blue feather. Like, oh, I want to find my blue feather. I thought it was such a pretty blue. Just, I always thought it was such a natural blue mm-hmm. feathers. We talked about the different feathers. But it was so weird.
Yeah. Because it really, these little baby steps just really prove that manifestation is a real thing. And again, manifestation, we talk about this all the time, but manifestation is what God taught us. It's yes. what Jesus came here yes. and he taught us. Yes. And we can move mountains. And whatever your mountain is, whatever the mountain is for you, you can move it.
Speak to it.
Yes, speak to it and it'll be gone. And use your words for good things because Jesus also cursed the fig tree. So it goes both ways. So when you're speaking, speak kindly about yourself. Speak kind. And this is something we struggle with all the time.
I know.
But we really, you can see when you just start with these little baby steps, you can see just how real manifestation is.
It is. And I always think, I saw that like famous quote, it's like, if you believe you can do something, or if you believe you can't do something, like they're both right. Cause yes. it's like in the mind, mm-hmm. like what you really think you can do, what you can't do, mm-hmm. but just be kind to yourself and speak it. And I also heard, I liked it. It's basically, it's like always speak kind to yourself because your soul doesn't know the difference.
Yeah.
Like it's like, it basically saying, you know, even if you're joking about something, even if you're like, oh, you know, joking negatively about yeah. yourself, your mind and your soul doesn't recognize it, really. No. It's like you have to put it out there. It's just like God spoke the heavens and earth into existence. Mm-hmm. He's showing us what we should do. Mm-hmm. Speak it so it will happen.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was with God, or the Word was in, it says that Jesus was with the Word
yep.
in the beginning of John. So we just have to really start trying to work on that. And I think we've been doing a little bit better.
I think we have. I've got yeah. my blue feather.
Hey, we got our feathers. So.
I'm moving on up. I'm yes, working on yes. some bigger things.
Let's just keep, I think, pushing for like that positive.
Yes.
Positive feelings and the positive experiences. And even with all of the evil things that are going on in the world mm-hmm. and the negative things that you can turn on the TV or you can turn on your social media and you can see, let us still turn away from that. And I mean, not to acknowledge it, but just give it that acknowledgement with prayer. Give it that acknowledgement with positivity. And we just have to remember God told us, and Jesus told us, and the angels tell us, do not fear.
Yes, and that's what I was going to say. Don't give it power.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's hard sometimes when you do see scary things, but like, don't give it that power over you.
Mm-hmm.
Just know where your faith is rooted, and regardless of what happens, God's got you.
Mm-hmm. I agree.